No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and today we have one of the hottest up-and-coming artists on the scene. Murray, how you feeling?
Hey, I'm feeling blessed. I'm feeling good. How you feeling, baby?
Great, man. I'm a big fan of the music, and as soon as I started to see you on camera and shit, I was like, wow, this guy's a fucking ray of light. I like it.
Hey, I appreciate it. Hey, I'm just trying to be different. Smile more than, you feel me? It is what it is.
Where does that positivity come from, though? It feels like so many people in the rap shit are kind of, like, consumed with the tough guy image and everything. You seem like you have a bit more of a jolly vibe going.
I ain't gonna fraud you, like, everybody can be tough. It's easy to shoot a gun. It's easy to get a gun. It's easy to be the gangster, but it's easy to smile. Mm. I feel like that's hard now to be like, yo, I'm fucking happy. Mm. Nah, nigga, like, I grew up in church, so I got hella love for everybody to begin with. So I love myself, too, so I stay happy that way. Mm. I always smile because when you leave with respect, you get it back.
Definitely. So do you think the church shit had a huge impact on you? And was it musical as well as just sort of social and cultural?
I think, like, with the church, it'll help you deal with the good and the bad, because it's probably like super nice and sweet, but it's also brutally honest. Mm. And I think when you are 16, 15, and you sing in the choir, somebody tell you, hey, that ain't your damn song, it's easy to be acclimated in the real world, because that's how everybody is. Everybody think they have an opinion, or they can give you an opinion.
It's crazy, because you'd think in a perfect world that you would have schools pushing kids to get into music, but was that your memory of being in school? Or is, like, I know a lot of schools probably have almost no budget for, like, music class and shit.
No, in school I wanted to play sports and mess with the girls, so like, I wasn't really focused on music too much until, like, I got a little older and started realizing I got locked up and couldn't go to school, so I had to find something else to do. But while I was in school, just like girls and sports, I just want to play football,
right?
Like, real rap.
Right. For sure. When did your football dream start to fade away?
Like, I was like 16. And I got arrested. I ended up going to a place called Glen Mills, and I came out of it. I got my GED, and I was like, y'all trying to go back to school, and I forgot, if you get a damn GED, you can't go get a high school diploma.
Oh, you can't even get one.
Okay. I didn't know. Like, and I was, the stuff that I was doing in my city, they kind of like banned me from my district of schools, so I would have had to, like, move, like, super far,
and I
couldn't afford that, so I just said, fuck it, what else can I do?
Why'd they ban you from all the schools in general?
When I first moved to the city, like, I got kicked out of the school, and they put me, like, in the trailers in the back of the school.
Oh, okay.
And then I got kicked out of those, and they created a school for other kids like me. And then, like, I got kicked out of that school.
Right.
So it's like, nigga, ain't no more chances for your ass. But we done gave you all the goddamn chances.
It sounds like you kind of had, like, two lives, where you had, like, the clean-cut version of your life, where you're playing football and, like, going to school and shit, and then you're also, like, simultaneously just finding ways to get in trouble and shit.
I was a follower. Like, no kizzy. Like, bro, I was one of the biggest followers. Like, I just wanted to be down. I just wanted to be cool. I just wanted to be that nigga, so I got myself in situations where I probably knew I shouldn't have been into, but fuck it, they doing it, so
right.
I'll do that shit. And it took me to, like, really be fucking up and be like, oh, I got nothing left but me to realize, like, let me just chill the fuck out and slow down.
That's crazy, because, like, there's so many kids who are followers, but they just will probably never realize or never be able to verbalize that, because that's, like, pretty much what happens as soon as you start going to school, is that you just sort of keep getting introduced to all these new ideas of, like, what you're supposed to be like, and then it becomes very hard, I think, for a kid who is unique to really, like, you have to be so strong-willed to not give in to the crowd.
Yeah, and I wasn't. Like, and I understand that now. Like, looking back on who I was definitely just trying to be accepted. I didn't really give a fuck about perception unless it was accepted.
Right.
And now I understand. I'm 28, so I'm like, if you don't accept me by now, fuck you. Like, I want to be cool. I want to be nice. I want to be a good dude. I got kids, so, like, we all can beat gangsters. That's the easiest shit to do. Like, it's easy to sit across somebody and steal them or slap them or rob a nigga, but is it really easy to turn the other cheek?
Right.
It's easy to be like, you know what, bro, that was... It is what it is, you feel me?
It's easy to get a million views saying, fuck somebody's dead homies.
Oh, okay, because that's you know? That's the nature. That's the narrative nowadays. Fuck your homies, gangbang, kill niggas, shoot niggas. Bro, like I said, that's the easiest shit you could do. It's not hard to be a thug, but it's really hard to be a good person.
Yeah.
And I think that shit is like, no matter what kind of music you make, whether you make that kind of music or not, you still could be a fucking good person. Nigga, like, the fuck? You make songs for niggas who really still doing the shit you used to do.
Right.
Like, you give them motivation. But, nigga, as your own person, you still could be nice and be gangster. Why not?
Definitely. What was the arrest for that you actually got locked up there?
I was in school, like, and funny story, I had just got arrested for some shit that we did a long time ago, and I was actually already on probation at the time. I was in school writing my girl a little love letter, like, no kizzy, like, She went to the regular high school, mm-hmm. so I was getting ready to walk it up to her and do some nice shit. Like, I just wanted to, you know, fuck with
high school was great, man. Yeah, I used to be writing really notes, too.
Facts. Yeah. I was like, hell yeah. I was like, yeah, you know, I love you. Go on a date. Yes, no. It was chilling.
My girl be so happy if I wrote her a note.
Facts.
I hope she doesn't see this.
So, like, one of my teachers, No Kizzy, we was in a school, and we have intervention specialists. Like, they were able to, like, grab you, slam you, and, you know what I mean? Like,
really. Oh, scared straight shit.
Facts. It was really hands-on. Like you damn near be scrapping in there. So, like, I guess one of the teachers was upset. Cause I had free time. Like, I always did my work fast, and then after that, I bullshit it. So I was like, bet, since I don't want to get in trouble, let me just do this for my girl or whatever. Mm-hmm. He kept throwing it away. I'm like, yo, bro, I got permission already. Bull already said I could do it. So, like, stop throwing my shit away, cause you're gonna piss me off.
Right.
And everybody knew who I was. Like, just chill out, bro. Like, I'm trying to have a good day. Like, let me have a good day. I go through a lot of shit every day. Let me have a good fucking day.
Right.
He didn't understand. So when I grabbed him the last time, I grabbed him by his shirt and I headbutted him, and then we started mixing. And then,
I would not want to get headbutted by you.
No, it's hard.
Like, you got a strong looking neck. Yeah,
that shit is crazy, bro. That shit is crazy, bro. It's been through some things.
It's been through some things. A couple of dents there.
It's been through some things. So like, I would say though, I do regret doing that, because he was a good dude. It just I was in a different space, and I felt like he was like pressuring me to. When I probably could have been like, you know what, fuck, I'll just tell her when I see her. I could have just told her in person.
I made a lot of teachers' lives hell, and I can look at that now and say, wow, that must be such a fucking hard job.
The hardest.
Paid jack shit, and you got to deal with all these kids who all got their own issues going on. You know what they've been dealing with at home and shit. Oh my god, this is a tough.
I don't know what camera it is, but if any person that taught me in school, listen, hey, I'm sorry. I fucked up. I wish you nothing but the best in success. If you write me, I will apologize to you, like, verbatim again. I don't care. Just sorry.
We could organize that for sure.
No cap. Sure,
they're probably watching. Wait, so, okay, that happens, and then how long you get locked up for?
I was in there for, like, I want to say 18 months, or close to 18 months. And then after that, I got out. I was like, yo, like, this is whack. Like, I get tired of seeing niggas next to me every 5 minutes, like, get away from me. Where the girls at? This is weird.
So that's how it affected you, is you were like, I never want to come back here?
Yeah, like, I didn't. Some people go there and they get a persona like, oh, that shit is hard. Like, yeah, I'm a gangster now. Like,
some people love it.
That shit whack. Like, yeah. It's a grown man telling you when to sleep, when to eat, when to shave, when to shit. That's whack. Like, stop telling me what the fuck to do when I can be free, be a good person, and still have a good life, and then I'm lit. Like, bro, you keep the bullshit. Like, a lot of niggas don't even be like that. Like, bro, we can just scrap.
Right.
Like, if you think about it, a lot of niggas who be like, I'll kill you. If we face to face, I'm like, bro, let's scrap. It's going to be different. I'll kill your ass. Now let's scrap. I'll blow your ass. Let's scrap.
Right.
Why you keep avoiding the fight part?
But did you end up fighting a lot while you're locked up?
Of course. Oh, okay. Like, because my person, like, I always been like, it's weird when you grow up being bullied, then you become the bully, and then you're trying to change. Because then, like, certain situations, you'll be confused of who you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to a lot of fights because of my own actions,
right?
But also because nigga, I'm a nice guy. They're gonna try you, bro.
And you kind of like prison is a place where, you know, in the real world, ruling by fear and making everybody afraid of you and just trying to have this power over people and shit, like the way that you kind of have to move in prison is just like not a great idea. In the real world, if you're Suge Knight, then it's not looked at as a good thing. In prison, you kind of have to be Suge Knight.
Yeah. I mean, I ain't never been to prison.
Right.
So, like, to the niggas that been in prison, y'all doing y'all some real shit. Like, that shit is crazy.
Right.
But, like, whether it's prison, whether it's jail, whether it's anything you ever been in, you got to find out who you are. And it's hard to find out who you are amongst a bunch of fake motherfuckers who also create narratives. So it's like, damn, if we all creating a character, who the fuck is this person really when we by ourselves?
Right.
Like, we're cool now. We're talking over dinner. In the next 5 minutes, somebody got some money. Now I'm stabbed the fuck up because I don't know your narrative, bro. I don't know who you are because you're pretending, I'm pretending, we're all fucking pretending to be safe.
So you were locked up in Fayetteville?
Nah, in Pennsylvania.
Okay. Oh, they moved you all the way over there.
No cap. I went to school from PA from 12 years old until 18 years old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, from 12 to 18, I was in Lebanon, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
And so culturally, like, was it?
That's what fucked me up.
It was just a different type of dude out there?
I wasn't used to the city. Like, that shit, like, the city's so fast, and I give so much respect to, like, people from the country that move to the city because it's a big difference from, like, the niceties and the normal conversations. Like, I mean, granted, you know, down south has this shit too, but, like, it's easy to talk. That's why I'm so easy to talk to people, because, like, I'm from the south, but from the city, it's like, it's a whole bunch of stairs, and, like, I'm foot with you, a whole, like, it's a lot that I didn't know how to deal with.
When you have that many people crammed into one space, one area, I feel like they don't end up being as friendly to each other because there's so much competition for everything, whether it's a job or a hustle or a girl, etc. When it's more spread out and people have a little bit more room, because you're right, when you're down south, it is completely different energy.
Completely different, yes. Bro. But like, I definitely understood that, like, me living there for 6 years and understanding, like, yo, I know why they're like that, because it's hard to build friendships and hard to build trust with people that will change on you in a second. Mm. Like in the city, it's progressive to have different outlets and maybe switch up a little bit. Like, oh, nah, because right now I'm a. But now you can't switch up at all. So it's like, now what's the narrative? Like, I can't be da da da, or now I gotta be. It's just a lot in the city to keep up with when you're from the south and I just love the country, but I love the city too. But I'm just more home in the south.
For sure. When you said that you had a thing that you had gotten caught up for that was from years prior, was that the breaking into houses shit?
Yeah, that's the that's the stuff that I don't want to talk about. But like, okay. But you know, like that shit that I shouldn't have done that I know better now for, that I've had my consequences for, that if I had to go back, I would never do.
So, but when you get out of prison or jail that time, did you just decide, like, I'm going to completely change my life? And was music already floating around in your head at that point?
Not the first time. Like, it didn't. I didn't really, like, it. Getting locked up didn't bother me at first. Like, at first I was like, all right, I'm good. Like, for 2 weeks I came out, I was, like, super different. I was like, oh, yeah, what's up, man? Yeah. And then all of a sudden I was like, fuck it. Like, I'm back in the hood. And then the shit with the teacher happened. Like, I got locked up again. And then, like, now I'm like, yo, I'm about to be 18. Niggas is trying to shoot at me now. This shit is weird. I got beef. I gotta get the fuck out of this city. This shit is not for me no more. Like, this shit is crazy.
Did you notice people treating you differently after you did that 18 months? Like, treating you like you're a real man now all of a sudden?
Not even the case. I think, like, when I got out, I separated myself from everybody I used to chill with. Because I feel like I came out the first time, chilled with the same niggas, did the same shit. Came out again. If I did the same thing, I was going, nigga, I don't want to be around a bunch of people with my appendage all day just talking in the shower and shit. Now I'm shitting, I'm taking a shit, you sit next to me having a full blown conversation. Like, I'm uncomfortable, bro. Like, I don't like being uncomfortable.
You gotta wonder, like, I wonder about people who are comfortable in that environment, just because me as a person, it's like, when I think about what I want in my life, it's like, you know, yeah, like, just freedom, like, being able to just do whatever you want, and, like, to even take a risk, like, to fucking rob a bank or shoot up somebody's house or whatever, just knowing that the likely result is that you're gonna lose all your freedom and just be stuck in this fucking box. It's just like
crazy.
I would do so much shit before I, like, that, put myself in line of that happening, you know?
And the thing is, some people don't have a choice.
This is true, yeah.
And that's why it's like, you have to understand that sometimes, like, robbery, say, boom, you worked all day. You worked all day, 8-hour shift. You made your money, you going home. It's a dude that been looking all day how to feed his kids. He don't know no other choice but you coming down his block. What you got? It ain't because he know who you are. I ain't got no choice. You there. Yeah. And I need it. So, like, I definitely understand certain decisions. But, like, it's once you make your mistake, you got to learn from it. It's like, you going to come out and do the same shit? You going to do it again to go visit the same niggas you just seen? Like, it's a YouTuber. I think his name is Mr. Carnivore. I don't know the name. But he always said, like, never home, just visiting. Like, it's funny as hell, but it's a mindset that most niggas who go to prison and come out really just visiting when they come home. Like, because they going back. And a lot of niggas understand that shit. So, like, boom, I'm already a gangster. I already been locked up twice. I already ain't got nothing going for me. Fuck, I'm going to keep the same lifestyle. No, nigga, you can still change your narrative. Work harder. If you get locked up, go to prison, you're telling yourself that you're going to be at the mercy of everybody else. Because when you come home, you got to work harder than you ever did before just to be normal. And it sucks.
And they set it up so that you only need to fuck up a little bit for them to send you back. And you're dealing with people who clearly already have an issue with fitting in and following instruction. There's probably a reason why they ended up in prison. They're probably at least a little antisocial or dealing with some shit. So, like, I mean, the idea that this is the best way to treat people who have, like, committed a crime is just, it's crazy. It makes it almost impossible for you to reassimilate.
It's so weird. If somebody comes home, bro, get him a shot. Like, no, I'm not saying be oblivious to the major concerns. But what I'm saying is, like, if you see a nigga really trying to do something different, why hold that man back?
Right.
Whether it ain't even about being black, white, anybody. If you see somebody's trying to do better, why would you hinder them?
Yeah.
bro, just let them succeed. We posed to fall. Ain't nobody perfect. Right. If I fall, you telling me you greater than God, you going to tell me what the fuck I can and can't do with my life? That's weird. Mm. Lock me up. Okay, I fucked up. When I come home, it should be a clean slate. Nigga, I don't know what the fuck going on.
Right, wouldn't that be nice?
Like, bro, it's... It could be a little more different, bro. I just feel like it's just, like, who owns water and electricity?
The government, I guess.
But how? Or why the fuck I pay for it? Yeah, like, yeah. I don't understand none of that shit. Mm. Like, so why the hell are we still making shit we don't understand? It's just, I don't know. It's just weird to me, bro.
I feel it. But, okay, so when did you start really thinking about the music thing? And were you thinking about it all along the way? Or did you have anything that you really thought you were talented at that you might be able to make something out of yourself doing?
Like, music always been a part of my life, whether I was just singing somebody else's song.
Right.
Like, music always did something different for me. But, like, I didn't understand what I can do with music until I got a little older. But, like, the last time I did, you know, my little situation, I was writing songs. I was singing a lot. Mm. And a lot of niggas didn't take that well. A lot of niggas was like, oh, you must be soft because we sing. I got to a lot of fights because I was singing a lot. Like, don't think because I sing, my nigga, I won't punch you in your shit.
But was everybody around you just doing straight gangster shit?
I mean, everybody around me was themselves. But singing was just, I'm locked up with niggas.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I'm a singer. You feel me? I'm not rapping with y'all. Nigga, I'm singing.
They should appreciate that, though. I remember PNB Rock sitting on this podcast and telling me about how that song with Kodak that I love, that he was singing that in prison for years before he fucking got out and was able to actually record it and became a hit.
Yeah. And I think the fact that being a singer is always labeled you as like, oh, you're softer because you sing. And I want to change that narrative because, bro, I ain't never been soft or pussy or scared in my life, but I'm still a good nigga. Like, I'm still happy, bro, but I ain't got to sit here and wave guns in your face. No, I'm not playing with you. I got guns in my house, nigga. I'm from North Carolina. It's legal, bitch.
Yeah, I know, right?
What the fuck are you talking about?
It's like, such a different decision.
Oh, bro, niggas can walk down the street with two guns. It's normal.
Right.
So, like, but I still can smile and be like, nigga, what's up? How you feeling today? Like, to strangers, bro.
Right.
To strangers, bro. I just want to change the narrative, bro. That's it.
I feel it. So you get out, though, and how do you actually start really pursuing the music thing?
I just started pursuing the music until I moved back to North Carolina at 18. It took me a couple years to really get. I met my wife at 21, and then I was like, "Yo, I'm happy now with her. Uh-huh. I'm stable now. I got a car. I got a house. Well, I got somewhere to stay. Let me try to follow my dream now."
Mm.
But it was hard because when you're working like a job and getting $7.25 an hour, like you can't really have a crazy career. So it was like a bunch of years of me saving $40 to get an hour in studio time.
Wow.
And like, believe it or not, like me and my wife, when we first got started, we used to bump heads a lot about me going to the studio because I was spending money that she made, like no cap, like I wasn't shit, bro. Like it took me a while to become the man I am today. Like she took care of me, and that's why I will always be solid with her. Cause at the end of the day, what man gonna say that out loud? Like my woman, damn near raised me, bro. Like no cap, and just for that, I'ma stay solid. And
I like that you say that because I feel the same exact way about my girl. Where I look at my life now, and I'm like, damn, you loved me when I was nothing,
bro.
And that means a lot to me now.
Broke. I'm talking about, bro, no kizzy. Like, yeah. I met, you know, I tell you a funny story, and it's weird. When I met her, I had wanted to date her, but she was like, nah, like, let's be friends first. Mm. And I was like, I don't want no more fucking friends. Like,
Is she in the building?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Yeah.
So, like, I was like, I don't want no more friends. But we ended up, like, talking and getting back and talking, whatever, trying to get be together. She made me wait 90 days. Like, and I ain't gonna lie to you, that shit was annoying.
90-day wait to do
to have the regular shit.
Okay.
Now we kiss, let me kiss on her little booty and shit, and like rub her feet and shit. Ooh. But like, no, what the fuck? I'm from the hood. I want to fuck. Like, what the fuck going on here? Like, it was something different I ain't never experienced.
Right.
But the fact that she made me like wait for it, I was like, yo, it gotta be crazy because shit baking over there, bitch. It's like 3 months. What
that
the
shit's
fuck?
Unfair. That's like information warfare. Like, you know what that's doing to my brain, making me wait this long? Like,
and it made me keep coming back. Mm. I was like, what the fuck's about this girl? Yeah. And then she can cook. I'm chubby. That shit was crazy.
And if you could go 3 months of hanging out just to fuck and then you dip out, you're a real savage. Like, you're a real killer. I don't trust you.
You a gangster. I waited 3 months and we married now. Like,
really?
Real shit.
Wow.
We've been together for 7 years.
That's amazing. 7 years.
Hell yeah.
So how old are you now?
28.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's my baby.
When did you guys start having kids?
We had our first kid January 6th of 2017, but I had two kids from a previous relationship.
Oh shit, okay, so you've been doing it.
Yeah, no cap. Yeah.
So at a certain point, did you start to feel like, wow, I gotta make it doing something because this shit ain't gonna be cheap.
I always felt like that. Like when I had my first kid, and now I worked at a construction site, I had to walk to work like every, like 3 hours walk to work, and then 3 hours back after working 8 hour shifts. Like I said, bitch, it gotta be something else other than this shit. Like my feet hurt, my legs hurt. Like I'm sweating.
3 hour walk,
bro. I walk from Bragg Boulevard in Fayetteville and Fieldcrest to Fort Bragg.
Wow.
And like to. What's that, like from La Brea to like Beverly Hills?
Yeah.
On a regular highway, I was walking in the middle of the median to fucking get to work. Like it was so annoying, bro.
What was going through your head during those times? Like you just knew that you just had to keep grinding and that someday you were going to make something out of yourself?
Hell nah.
Did you ever lose faith?
All the time. Like, it was a depression ass walk, bro.
Yeah.
Like when you got that much time, I ain't had no headphones, listen to no music, my phone was off. So like it was like, when you're walking for 3 hours, you have too much time to talk to yourself.
Mm.
And it put me in this mode of like, nigga, you really ain't shit.
Right.
Like, I don't give a fuck. I wasn't even paying my bills on my checks. Like, I was going to the strip club. I was buying weed. I was having a 19-year-old life. I didn't know what to do. And I had a son. And it sucks that it took me so fucking long to get my shit together, but I was fucking up. And that's all I could think about. I was like, nigga, you ain't gonna be shit. It's like everybody else you be around.
So when does all this start to turn around for you?
When I met my wife.
Right.
Like, no, when I met her, I got my first, like, good job at Smithfield.
Uh-huh.
I was getting paid, like, $15 an hour. And, like, to me, from getting paid $7.25 to like $15, I said, bitch, I'm rich.
Right.
Like, ain't shit you could tell me. Like we was buying hella weed. I was smoking good. I said, life is good. My kids, Christmases was crazy.
Right.
It was just super dope. And then like having somebody like that in your corner, even though I kept fucking up and I got fired a lot and smoking weed was a problem, but I still wanted to do more. And I just had to.
But that's so good to hear, because that is the exact thing that when we have conversations about like how relationships should be, is it's like two people who are not really on shit should get together and try to make something out of themselves.
Okay.
You know, not a woman just demanding that a rich guy is going to come and rescue her or whatever. Facts. I mean, that shit is a fantasy. Like two people who are willing to actually support each other and build something is like the most beautiful thing that you could do. And that's actually amazing to hear that it worked out so good for you.
Bro, I love it, bro. Like that's my stinker dang dang. You feel me?
Definitely. Okay. But so when does the music start to actually kind of click?
Okay. Last year. No cap. I wrote Quicksand, and that's when like everything started going crazy. I was writing plenty of songs. I write songs about fucking, songs about bitches and cars and clothes and shit that I didn't have.
And were you on no success?
None at all.
Nothing.
Like,
okay.
Like I had some shit on SoundCloud, but it wasn't doing nothing crazy. Like I don't get no plays. So my wife was like, "Yo, like maybe you stop making the bullshit and stop trying to be like everybody and write something that you feel like you feel." And I like my music, I'm very sensitive about. So I felt like she was trying to play me, like, don't tell me I ain't got no talent. But that's not what she was doing. She was like, just do something different. So I went to the bathroom, smoked my last blunt, closed the door, and I wrote Big Decisions first.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I like it, but let me see what's happening with another song. And then I wrote Quicksand, and it was just crazy.
Right.
Crazy.
And stylistically, was Quicksand kind of similar to a lot of the stuff you've been doing before? Because you have like a very nice like singing,
it's super different,
slash rapping flow on it.
Most of my other songs, which I was either strictly rapping or strictly singing.
Mm-hmm.
Quicksand is the first song when I like really combined them both. It was like, I could do both and see what happens. And
right.
I think that's what the problem was. It was either I wanted to be a rapper or I wanted to be a singer. And when I realized I could do both, so why not fucking do both?
Yeah.
Shout out to Drizzy. I said this shit and every time somebody asks me about where I got started from, the album So Far So Gone with Brand New and all those songs on it really made me believe singing and rapping is the shit. And and that's my lifestyle now.
I mean, you have to thank Drake for that, because like looking back on it, it was very hard for a rapper to just sing and for it to be accepted as normal. And then Drake made it the flyest shit in the world. It has completely changed rap. That's why when I sit here, like I said to someone the other day, like he's the most important rapper of our generation, and they were like acting like I was bugging. I'm like,
nah,
you're not blind to how much music has changed, because
especially
of
my generation. Like,
yes,
like no, I didn't grow up listening to. I got put onto the real hip hop later on in life
because
I wanted to search for it myself. Like, if I heard rap, it was like I was young, like Busta Rhymes, Redman, but like only because my dad would play that. My mom played like gospel, so I didn't hear a lot of Tupac and Biggies until I got older.
Mm.
So like Drake is like the first artist that I heard that really went like, I said, oh, I fuck with Bull. Like, yo, I want to listen to shit every day.
Right.
And my favorite song is Say What's Real. Like, it fucking resonates with my life so much now. Like, it's just crazy.
Right.
It's fucking crazy.
Where did you end up shooting that video? Did you shoot it soon after you made it, or did more stuff have to happen between that?
It took a little while. I think to like 30 days or like 60 days. I had to find what I had to do. I recorded a song. The dude at my job, I worked at a call center. He was like, yo, I shoot videos. And I was like, no, you don't. Like, whatever. Nigga, we all shoot videos. And he was like, nah, I do. Whenever show him his work, I was like, well, nigga, we can just try something and see what happens. I was like, bro, I ain't got a whole bunch of bread. He was like, fuck it, I like the song, but just do it free.
Really?
I was like, you bullshit.
You got that video done for free?
For free.
Wow, that's an amazing video.
Everybody in the video is my homies. It was literally a free ass video. Like, wow. I called my homies, like, what you doing? Not shit, pull up. Bet. And nigga just pulled up like that. It was just like that. And then we start shooting.
It's crazy because like everybody in the video is mad chill, rolling blunts and shit, and you are like maximum high energy, just swagging around that place. That was tight.
That's my energy, bro. Like I like to dance, have a good time and chill. Like my nigga Ant, he was going crazy, and that dude with no shirt off. He was like dancing off.
Right.
My nigga Ant was lit, and I think that's why I kept being turned up. I was like, well, he turned up, shit, I'm turned up. Like, fuck it, we lit.
But do you feel more comfortable being this version of yourself now rather than like when you were broke and like really struggling? I'm sure that kind of saps some of the energy out of you at times, right?
Nah.
No.
I always made somebody laugh, even when I felt like I had nothing to fucking laugh about.
Right.
Because I, in a way, I kind of care about other people's feelings more than my own, because I know what it is to be sad, and I don't want nobody to feel that shit. Mm. So like, if I'm in a room with a bunch of niggas who upset, like I'm probably gonna start doing some weird shit, like dancing or some shit, or like saying a joke, or like ragging on somebody else, or like pull a picture like this nigga ugly as hell. What the fuck you talking about? just to get that right there, like, yeah, oh, you crazy. And then okay, maybe your day might be a little bit better because I just did that shit.
You could definitely like open up a room if you start just being willing to be funny, just talking about some random shit. You know, sometimes I feel like with the internet, people have forgotten how to just be in a room with a bunch of random people and just start talking about shit.
No, all it is now, even kickbacks party is this.
Oh my God, it's the worst.
Like, start Snapchatting, ha ha, we live.
If I want to be on my phone, I just like if I'm at a party and I want to be on my phone, I probably should not be at that party.
Oh, when you step into a party with your friends, the phone, you ain't even supposed to be worried about your phone unless you got kids. You got to check on them. Like, oh, you did good. All right, bet. Nah, fuck you. Time that. Hey, give me a drink. We'll be having a good time.
Right.
You're not supposed to be sitting here worried about your Instagram followers when you at a party with your homies. Right. Enjoy your life.
Especially, I think COVID has kind of made me realize that is like, the time you spend with other people is pretty valuable. You should really make the most out of it. And there's just certain times where, like, you know, you can look at your phone literally all day. If you're at dinner with your friends, looking at your phone basically means you're a fucking weirdo, because that's just not, like, enjoy your time with other people. It's kind of a foreign concept these days.
It really is, because if I'm at dinner with my friends, who the fuck am I texting?
Exactly. I've chosen to be with these people.
They're here, I thought.
Yeah.
Never mind, wrong motherfuckers.
Because, like, just if you're looking at Twitter or Instagram when you're around some of your friends, you're basically saying that, yes, I'm with my friends, but I would way rather be paying attention to Kylie Jenner.
Facts. Honestly, like, unless you're, like, scrolling and you, like, showing people, like, you could be on your phone, but get them involved. Like, yo, this fucking TikTok is fire. Or whatever. But, like, bro, but some people just introverts, and they just, they'd rather be on their phone than have a conversation.
Definitely. So, okay, that song, what do you do with it? Like, how does it, you start work? Did you realize, like, well, this song is way better than every other song I ever made?
Nah. I thought it was just good. So I put it out. I put it out, March. Mo called me, like, April, and was like, bro, I heard your song. I found you through your director. And I was like, who the fuck are you?
You're talking about Mo3?
Mo Shalizi.
Oh, okay.
I wish.
Shout out Mo3, because you're a big fan of him as well,
hey,
right?
I fuck with the 3, bro. Like, yeah. The gospel, the rap, all that together is fucking phenomenal, bro.
Rest in peace.
My own God, always. Rest in heaven, always.
For sure.
But Mo Shalizi, the one that signed me for Pick 6.
Okay.
He FaceTimed me, and I was like, this nigga got blonde hair, a coif. Who the fuck is boy? He's shining, got diamonds on. This nigga must be legit, man.
If a guy who looks like this likes my song, I might
he
say might, something.
He got it, you feel me? And like, I'm like, yo, low-key. It was like a 2-hour conversation of figuring out what was going on, and like, I felt super comfortable. And then, like, he nigga sent me the contract for Pick 6, and we was he let me read over it, send it to my lawyer. Like, he didn't even, like, usually when people trying to snake you, they try to, like, hide some shit. He told me in the beginning, like, bro, you're not about to get rich. You ain't about to be, you know what I mean? I'm going to work my best. You work your best. We going to do this shit together. We a team. And I was like, that shit sound better than a nigga trying to sell me a dream.
It was like a management company deal, or like a label deal? Or is like a
thing? He manages me as well. And then like Pick 6 is the label.
Okay.
Hell yeah. Like, so like it's all the way through, like I fuck with boy. And like the fact that he picked me at a time where my phone was off. I had no job.
Wow.
We were in a different state. Like niggas was really trying to figure out the next move. And the move like plopped in my lap because of a song I put out that I didn't think was going
to
go nowhere.
But that is a very like fair thing to say. If you were to say like, you're not going to get rich overnight, but if we work on this,
yeah,
I can help you get to that.
You got to fuck with that.
Yeah.
Like that, you have no, like he never sold me a dream. He always told me reality, and no cap, everything he been saying and the way we working been coming to fruition the way he been saying it. Because at the end of the day, you got to be willing to believe in yourself, but also believe that, yo, okay, you lit. Like, what you're saying right now ain't wrong. I'ma fuck with it.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
So how's your life change after that, and how do you start, you know, what do they start doing for you, and do you start, like, being in more serious studios, you're recording a shitload more? What started happening after that?
I definitely kept recording in the same studio I've been recording in until I met Mo. Like, once I met Mo and realized there was different stuff, because I really wanted to do it my way until I met him, we started talking, and everything was, like, I wanted to stay with the same studios, and the equipment wasn't what it was supposed to be. So he was like, you can definitely keep the same people, bro, but we got to get the equipment. And at the time, they couldn't do it, you feel me? So I had to go to a different studio, and I realized that the CA-200 is like the mic I'm supposed to be using. I never knew what the fuck that was until I found out in LA.
Really? So the vocals on Quicksand, you're not totally happy with, or did you redo them at some point?
I redid them in LA. Because it sound better on a mic. This mic is fire. Like, even this mic right here, like, I love how this shit sound. It don't sound like that in different studios when you're in a closet or when you like in a styrofoam and the sheets and then the microphone is like from the pawn shop. It's a lot.
For sure. So, but that video hadn't really gone viral yet?
Nah, I think it had like 3,000 or a couple of thousand before he hit me up, and I was fucking happy about that shit. Like, I thought I was the man having like 3,000-4,000 views. I thought, oh, shit.
Uh-huh.
This little ass city, I got 3,000. I know this my whole city. Right. Everybody know me now.
Definitely. Because you didn't know any successful rappers up till this point?
Like, no, like, no cap, I never met anybody or talked to anybody. And believe it or not, I sent my video to a couple people when it first came out. Like, a couple people. And nobody hit me back.
Right.
So I don't know.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, North Carolina is kind of a crazy scene right now in the sense that there's just a bunch of talent sort of bubbling up.
All over the place. Yeah. Like, all over different cities, especially in my city, Fayetteville, and there's some talent in Raleigh, Greensboro. It's a lot of talent everywhere. Like, and the fact that, you know, me and J. Cole from the same city, and then DaBaby from Charlotte, it's widening our horizons.
Definitely.
And I love it.
Because just like every kid after you or after DaBaby or after J. Cole is just going to have a little bit more of a understanding that this vision is possible. And like, you know, like, it's hard if you're in a smaller city or town to like be able to look at L.A. and think like, oh, I can do that.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for you to do that if you don't have other artists or an industry or producers or managers around you. Like, people in Atlanta, like, it's almost like a bad thing that you're just going to have some random-ass gangster trying to be your manager after you're rapping for two months.
Like, no, you're 100% right. Like, yeah. I think people think you're going to make music and just get on. You have to build relationships. You got to network, and it sucks to say, you gotta know somebody. If I never met Mo Shaleezy, you wouldn't be talking to me right now, bro. I'd probably still be building my shit slow as hell. Probably had like 20,000 views by now.
Right.
30,000, I don't know, something like that. But like, the fact that I have help, and I love the fact that I have help.
Right.
That's my dog.
Because, like, you get to be the artist.
Facts. I don't have to do anything besides rap, write, sing, and enjoy. That's why I'm always happy. I do my part because they do their part. There's no quarrels. There's no riff-raff. Like, we have a clear understanding. It's love. And that's why I'm always just always happy, bro, because I'm happy as shit. My shit is lit, bro.
Right. No, definitely. So how does the song really start exploding, and what was that like?
I think when it first hit 100,000 views in, like, October, that's when it went crazy. Like, no cap. My homeboy Gutter showed me the video. Was like, yo, you hit 100K. And I'm like, nah, you bullshitting. Like, I looked at it, I damn near cried. No cap, I did cry. Like a big bitch on my mama. I was like, yo, I can't believe God blessed me with 100K views. And like, now I'm looking like I got 47 million. Like, it'd be hard to fathom, bro.
Some people, when they're like, they get a bunch of views and they're like 18, they just don't really like understand how crazy that is. But at that point, you have been grinding. You're almost 30 by that point. It's like you really were probably thinking in the back of your head, maybe I won't ever be shit.
No, I knew that. Like, it, at the time where I received the phone call, I knew I wasn't going to be shit.
Really?
I was looking for a regular job because I was just a regular motherfucker. I was going to do some regular shit, never do anything great.
Wow.
And that phone call saved my life because now I know I can be as great as I want to be. man, that the fact that I don't have a limit on my creativity, the fact that I don't have a limit on who I can be, who my kids can become, who my wife can be, what businesses I can start, my future is a blur, and I love it. Mm. Because when you know what your future is, it may not go that way. I love that I can paint a different part of my future every day.
Yeah.
Okay, I did this show, and this one, I built this relationship. Oh, a new part of the picture. Oh, I'm this guy, and I just saved him. Oh, this part of the picture. Oh, I made him smile, I made her smile. This part, like, now my life is coming together slowly but surely, and I love that shit.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. So how much has your life changed? And, like, you know, signing that deal or whatever must have been dope, but then to have one of the songs actually start exploding, it's got to be, like, a different feeling of, like, oh, okay, like, getting signed is one thing, but that know that hundreds of thousands and millions of people are enjoying a song that you made, that must have felt pretty wild.
The best feeling is the people that listen to my music. Like, I love going to the store now in my city, because I always get stopped for pictures. Mm. Always get stopped for hugs. Somebody always... That's my favorite part. If you ever see me anywhere and you see Moray's not a too cool rapper at all. I would never tell you no for a picture, because that's my job. Mm. I live to please my boss, yeah, which is the fans. You my damn boss. Picture? Yes, sir. Here come. Come here. Let me hug you. Make you smile a little bit. I love that part of my job.
Definitely. No, yeah, that's amazing. Has it been weird having all this happen during COVID? You can't do all the shit that you probably wanted to do in terms of shows and all that kind of stuff?
Nah, because at the end of the day, I am doing exactly what I thought I never would.
Mm.
I'm acceptable of everything. Slow, fast, it doesn't matter, as long as it happens.
Right.
I'm happy that I'm on a show with you, and I just watched OT Genesis being your show a couple days ago. Like, it's ridiculous.
The big leagues, yeah, see?
that's crazy to me, like, to be doing stuff that I watched, to be on a vote for XXL when I watch that shit every fucking year, to talk to rappers that I've listened to my whole life, the smallest thing to somebody writing on my inbox, yo, your song has did this for me. I fucking love that shit.
Mm.
I love that shit. Love that shit.
Okay. So on that note, here comes a question that I guarantee is going to get an interesting reaction. Given that all that you've been through, how does it sit when people try to say you're an industry plant?
I think it's, we talk about academics, of course.
He's one. I saw another YouTube video
that's
as well.
That's the one I've seen. It's him.
Right.
So I would say this. He's doing his job.
Right.
So my job is to prove him wrong.
Mm.
The fact that you think I'm an industry, I would love to meet him, have a conversation, explain why do you think I am.
Right.
And I explain to him why I'm not.
It seemed like his explanation was mostly like, a song could never do these kind of numbers on YouTube or Spotify as an artist's first song or right out the gate, which is probably, you probably had stuff before that, but then you kind of clean up the YouTube.
Of course. Yeah. But I mean, honestly, it's baffling to me too. So I definitely understand where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit, this is weird. Yes, sir. But is it happening? Most definitely.
Right.
It's reality, bro. Like, if you came to my house, academics, industry plant would be the last thing on your mind.
Right.
I live in the same fucking crib when I started this shit.
I think you guys would get along.
But I think it would too.
You drink Henny?
I don't. Well, but I'm a smoker.
Okay.
So I'm lit.
He's not going to like that. You might get along better than me, actually.
We get along now. No matter.
Roll up.
Hey, you already said fucking time at.
But yeah, I mean, that is a weird thing because now, I mean, there are a lot of artists who basically kind of are industry planted into the game. But I mean, as soon as I heard that song, I was like, well, I mean, I'm sure the label's helping him and stuff, but this song's a banger. Like, that song is going to be a hit regardless, I think, once people found out about it. But what is a label supposed to do? The label's supposed to get you looks. They're supposed to get you on playlists. They're supposed to help promote your project or your videos, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like sometimes people throw people in the industry plant box a little loosely.
I never heard of industry plant until, like, somebody called me one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, industry plant. Like, what the fuck is that? If somebody's helping you to your goal, that means you were planted.
Mm.
Okay. So if someone's not helping me and I don't make it, what does that mean?
Mm.
So you want me to not help myself just to make you feel better.
Mm.
Moshe Leezy is dope as fuck. He found a young nigga who ain't half shit and made me who the fuck I am today. I don't care what nobody else got to say. You can call me whatever you call me. Just call me genuine.
Mm.
That's it.
I respect that.
Me ain't got to call me nothing else. Just when everybody meet me, my last day on earth, I just want you to be like, yo, Moray, a solid nigga.
But it's pretty interesting that you had never even heard of that term, so you didn't even anticipate that was going to be the kind of smear that people would throw at you, whereas someone like me who was like perpetually online my whole life, I definitely like the first thing that comes out of my mind when I watch a video like that seems like it has a decent amount of views or whatever, it comes up very quickly in my head. It's like, who's behind this? Who's making this happen? Who's pulling these strings?
I definitely don't. Mm. Like, no cap, bro. The reason why I don't... Energy Plant is just weird to me because I sit in my house that I've been living in for the last 2 years. Before that, the house I was living in was fucking the worst. Mm. So for somebody to call me Industry Plant and I'm looking at holes in my window, I'm looking at me living in the same situation that I've been living in for forever, it bothers me only this much. Mm. Because your opinion will never make me or break me. Actually, you got me a lot of attention academics, so appreciate you, my guy. Thank you so much for sending people to me to check if I was and build their own opinion. Mm. I love that shit. That's, you did your job, and your job low-key helped me. Mm. Thank you, bro.
Yeah.
I have no ill will. I have no... Thank you, bro. We lit.
I think we need better terms than just industry plan or whatever, because somebody being extremely talented, like he even said in the clip I saw him, he said, I like his music. I think he's very talented.
Facts.
You know, it's like, but I mean, that's what the label is supposed to do. What's weird, the weird thing now is that we get to see it.
Yeah.
You know, because back in the day, it was the labels petitioning XXL to put you on the cover, trying to get your video played on MTV, but we were all blind to the process. Mm-hmm. Now it's like we kind of are up front row seats for artist development, so people feel like they can kind of have viewpoints on all that shit, you know.
And they can, because at the end of the day, it's an opinion. Mm. Everybody is entitled to their own opinion.
Definitely.
You shouldn't be mad at someone because they felt a certain way about something that they've seen. He's seen me have a video. He's seen it hit a lot of views. It's weird to him. Mm. He got to be Industry Plant. Something's up with this guy.
But it's interesting because then now you've had all these crazy cosigns and shit, and it's kind of easy. Once you throw that Industry Plant term out there, people start to see everything as evidence of the Industry Plant thing. Like, of course. J. Cole must have got the Cash App for shouting this guy out. But, I mean, you're from the same city as him.
It just makes sense.
We don't have any evidence of you guys being signed to the same label or having anything in common, really, right? Besides being from the same place.
We're not signed to this. Like, I'm not Dreamville.
Right.
Like, J. Cole is just, like, one of the coolest people you ever meet. Like, if people talk to J. Cole, like, he's a humble-ass, realistic dude. He's not going to give it to you no way besides the truth. Mm. And the fact that he took his time out to write, amazing.
When he never says anything about anything ever.
Bro. I thought somebody was pranking me, bro. I said, ain't no fucking way, J. Cole. He from my city.
Right.
Nigga, that shit was fire as hell. Like, right. Bro, what the shit? Like, I wish I would have known nigga before that. I probably would have been signed then. He probably would have been shaped me. I probably been had music and been rich.
Right.
Like, it's weird that people think you knew these people. Man, why have I been living in the same shit, dealing with the same money? I've already had these connections. Stop playing with me. That's weird.
J. Cole probably wishes that he had noticed your talent earlier.
Nah, he got enough time for his own. He lit.
This is true.
He lit. You don't need more.
But J. Cole to me is like the definition of who I want to. I mean, like, there's a lot of difference between us, but
yeah,
a certain part of his personality is like what I want, which is he came to my store. One dude that was his manager, not a fucking security guard or whatever. He's dressed in totally normalized Nike Tech outfit, whatever. He's got sneakers on. The most normal shit I ever seen. And everyone who saw him could not believe how regular he was moving around.
Bro.
Like, you are like one of the most important rappers of this generation. You are ridiculously rich. And you're walking around here like, it is all good. That is, nobody does that.
His energy, bro. Mm. He don't give off bad energy. So why would he get bad energy?
Mm.
Like, J. Cole, his aura is like, you're welcome.
Right.
So you give him the same respect. Like, I fuck with boy, like, no cap. Like, I really fuck. I fuck with Cole. He a cool nigga.
Definitely. What about the baby co-sign as well, too?
I guess that shit was fire.
Kind of had to happen, right?
It was dope as shit. Like, no, he was on his live, I guess, and he played by me. I was like, I just listened to goddamn Kurt. You feel me? I fuck with that nigga. No cap.
That's amazing.
That was a fun one for me because, like, I've been listening to the baby since, like, Wetter. Like, he made me a song called Wet back in the day. Like,
right.
I probably like 2018 or 17.
Okay.
Super dope. Like, I fuck with the baby. I listen to his music a lot, though. No kizzy.
Right.
Hell no, yeah.
He's super talented, too. And those dudes both, when you really, like, I haven't spoken, well, I guess I speak to the baby from time to time, but they're, like, the nicest, most friendliest, approachable. I mean, obviously, the baby is kind of, it's kind of tough being the baby right now. There's a little bit too much energy at times, but.
I think with the baby is the shit that I say, like, he a cool nigga, but, like, don't try the nigga. You feel me? Like, he gonna, it seems like when you look at the baby, he gonna treat you with respect until he feel like you being disrespectful. Now he gonna get uber disrespectful. Mm. And that's a dope individual to me. If I'm giving you respect, you give me respect, we're lit.
I mean, that's a guy who has seen the effects of having random ass negative energy from people in person. Like, this is not like a guy who just fucking left the house for the first time. Like, he's been living this life. Like, he fucking knows exactly. And when you see him now and you see him with surrounded by this army of security and they're moving super fast between shit, I mean, he's just, it's self-preservation at a certain point. He's a lick waiting to happen, and he knows it.
That nigga probably got like $1 million on his neck. So, I would you walk around with $1 million on your neck by yourself? Hell no. Hey, especially not in the hood. These niggas different.
You need an army for sure.
On the game.
Okay, last one though. What about the Jay-Z playlist edition? That must have been trippy.
No, that was crazy. When you have somebody like Jay-Z who's a mogul, who's a legend, who's an OG, who don't gotta look at you at all. Like, literally insignificant to him.
Like, you just heard how we just talked about J. Cole and the baby. I mean, Jay-Z is the emperor above all, everyone in hip hop, right? Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like he's the OG. So for him to be like, yo, I play you on my playlist. And no cap, the number 27, I love it now. That's like one of my favorite numbers because I'm 27 on his playlist.
Oh, okay, that's dope.
So I'm like, yo, what the fuck? Like, the first thing I thought about was I wanted to be like, ho. I don't know why I just wanted to call that nigga and be like, what's that name?
I wonder when the last time he did that was.
I don't even know. It's The Rock.
Is it still The Rock? Rock Nation?
I hope so. It makes sense.
For sure. No, that's ridiculous right there. Okay, so but how do you view where you're at in your career right now in terms of, like, you know, it's very easy to have like one massive song and to sort of just not be able to reach that peak again. I'm sure you're pretty focused on making sure that's definitely not the case. Where do you view where you're at right now and how everything's going and shit?
I really feel like I have a lot more learning to do, and I'm excited for it. I'm excited for the new things I'm gonna learn with music and the new pitches, the new tempos, the new terms, the new this. I just want to learn as much as I can to be as good as I possibly can. Because I feel like now that I have made it after trying to for so long, now it's up to me to perfect it and work harder than I've ever done. Like, I hope this mixtape that come out, it really helped people get to know exactly who I am more and feel more closer to me. So when I start dropping this album, it's gonna be crazy.
Right.
I can't wait to drop over the bitch.
That's dope though. Like, you just feel like you've learned so much about music and about what kind of music you wanna make that, you know, you've only been famous for this short period of time, but, you know, there's a lot of work that you wanna do behind the scenes in terms of just making your shit as good as possible.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I really wanna learn how to engineer myself. Like, I've never tried it before, like, ever. It looks like Chinese arithmetic to me.
A lot of the
it's
goats.
Hard.
Young Thug. He'll have the mic right here, and he'll be just like sitting there engineering his own shit, like, and then he'll
at
just,
the same time,
and then he'll like whisper like one bar, and then go, you know, punch Holy himself shit. In and all that stuff. So it's
Thug, you the goat.
It's kind of crazy, like how many
crazy.
People do that. Yeah,
I want to do that. Yeah. I want to, like, no cap. That shit is crazy.
Yeah, I
was talking about simple as like pressing record and EQing, but that sounds even better.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure at some point maybe get some help from somebody else, but I guess he's so tapped into what he wants to be doing on beats that he just kind of handles himself.
I really look up to, like, now that I'm in the music, I look up to, like, you know, those Thug and Breezy and Future and Drizzy. Like, the way how you can be in the game for so long and still be creating so much dope ass music, their brains are fucking immaculate. Like, it's I don't listen to music, oh, that sounds good now. Now I'm like, oh, this nigga's a genius.
Right.
Like, what made you think about this shit? Like, it's like a pretty flower when you listen to no new music and it blossoms, and now you got other flowers popping out. Like, how the fuck did you even come up with this combination?
And the more into it you get, like, I feel like when I kind of came in the game, mostly just interviewing underground rappers, but then pretty quickly it just forced me to, like, really realize, like, how great a Drake or a Thug or a Future is. Like, the level of progression that they've done, like, how good they continue to be. Mm-hmm. Once you really get used to working with a lot of smaller artists, then you can really see, like, oh, there's a reason why all these guys are considered the goats.
I promise you, like, no cap. I was at the studio. I walked in on Wiz, and like to see him in person, I was like, "Oh, this nigga really tall as hell for one. That shit crazy."
Right.
But like hearing the process, like, yo, you still making this fire ass music. Like, I still remember Black and Yellow.
Right.
And now you got all this hot, you still making hot shit? Like, yeah. What the fuck? I gotta keep up. This shit is hard work.
His shit's trippy too, because he ended up basically having the heights of his career were like mega pop smashes. Mm-hmm. And like his day to day style is basically, you know, he's a chilled, laid back rapper, whatever. But he's like some of these songs, like his hit fucking monster pop hits. It's ridiculous.
Incredible, bro. Mm. Incredible, bro.
Definitely. So you stay out here now, or?
Hell no, I started living in Fayetteville.
Okay.
I can come here to work on a mixtape, make sure everything is straight and line everything up.
You think of moving at some point, or you're trying to hold down the energy? See, that's smart.
I think living out different places is dope, but there's nothing like home.
Yeah.
Like, I want to walk outside my door, smell that country dirty ass air, stretch, get my little back in the crib.
LA will change your spirit, my friend. It's a different vibe out here for sure. And that
it's more
that,
fun though.
That hometown vibe of just having like, you know, like just it's just different. Like the energy out here is the same energy that everybody's feeding off.
Yeah.
You know, and it can get stale pretty easy.
It's palpable of like how
the air is. I don't know. I've never had a rapper say palpable on the podcast before.
Oh,
I don't
shit.
Think.
Yeah. That was good. I like that. Yeah. It's very thick in the air. Mm. Like it's very different. Like when you come to LA, like it feels like, okay, work.
Mm.
Boom, got you. Boom, got
very
you.
Businessy.
North Carolina, where I'm from, when I get off the plane in Fayetteville, it's like, okay, shit. Take my shoes off, put my foot up, order some fucking barbecue, and let's get crazy. Let's go grill. Mm. And I love that I can just be myself there. I can be like ratty shorts, ratty t-shirt, go take out the trash.
Yeah.
And I love that shit. I love that shit.
No, yeah. Much respect, man. Okay, anything that the fans should be looking forward to? Anything you want to have them ready for?
I'm definitely trying to drop this video for Trenches very soon.
Okay.
So I'm working on that hard. It's a song that's going to be on my mixtape. Please look out for that too. It's coming very soon. I'm working hard for it. Just be on the lookout maybe end of April, early May.
Definitely. Hell yeah. Wow. Big, big fan, man. And, you know, shout out to everything you have going. It's a very inspiring story. And your personality, I think, will guide you through whatever bullshit the industry gonna throw you at, because you got that good ass personality and a good energy, and I think that like the fans will gravitate towards it, and the people will just resonate with that shit, man.
I appreciate that. Like, thank you for even having me. This shit was fun as fuck. The interview was dope.
Yeah.
Great questions, bro. I felt like super chill, my nigga.
My pleasure, man. All right, my guy.
That's cutie.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, and subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want to support. Appreciate you, man.
No the vibes.